behind his back. He bowed as he made a sound of protest. I expected him to fold, but he didn't. He pulled some sort of spin move, extricating himself from the hold and leveling a kick to my side. Pain flared, not bad, but present, and it stoked the embers I'd buried beneath the coals of trying to hold it all together. I moved quicker this time and with more power. My body tilted, hitting Link in the shoulder with a roundhouse kick. I would have gone for the face if we'd had mouthguards and headgear. Then again, that face was way too pretty to damage. Link stumbled back a few steps but quickly rallied. And then we truly began our dance, back and forth. We were almost evenly matched, but in ways completely unique to ourselves. Sweat beaded and glided down my spine. My muscles strained in their search for more. More of what? I wasn't sure. More contact, more pain, more release. That moment of distraction was my undoing. Link moved in with a single leg takedown, and my back hit the mat with enough force to steal the air from my lungs. This time, I wasn't quick enough to escape. Link was on top of me in the blink of an eye, his big body straddling my hips as he pinned my hands above my head. I bucked and writhed, but it was no use. I knew my grappling game was weak. If my opponent got me on the mat, that was always my downfall. But I couldn't find it in me to give up now or let him win.
"Tap out,"
Link growled, his face hovering over me. "No," I snarled. His eyes flared, surprise making a home there. "It's not enough," I admitted. "I need more." I needed to fight until my muscles gave out, until I was starved for breath, until I could finally forget about the events of the day. Link's gaze searched mine.
"Tell me what you need."
I tried in vain to unseat him, twisting my hips and bucking against him. It was no use. "I don't know." The words were half-yell, frustration, anger, and fear stewing inside. And then Link's mouth was on mine. Everything about it was domination, the promise that he was in control when it felt like everything in my life was spinning wildly out of it. His weight pinning me, his hands holding my wrists, his tongue invading. I moaned into his mouth, but then I sparked alive, ready to duel, fighting for that dominance, feeling the power spark to life inside me. Link stole his mouth from mine, his lips trailing across my jaw to hover at my ear.
"Tell me what you want, Vicious. Tell me you want me to make you come, that you want me to shatter your body so it'll never be the same."
I shuddered under him, the promise of his words digging in, my nipples tightened, beating beneath the light cotton of my bra.
"Fuck,"
Link swore.
"I can feel those perfect nipples. Wonder if they're the same berry pink as those lips I've been dreaming about wrapped around my..."
I bucked with everything in me, rolling so I was the one straddling him, even though he still gripped my wrists. And then I felt it. His hard length pressed against the apex of my thighs, making a home against my core. My body moved on instinct, rocking against him. I couldn't help it. A moan slipped free. Link's eyes flashed, the green brighter in the sea of gold.
"What are you going to do now?"
A dare laced his words, a challenge I was more than ready to meet. My hips rocked again and Link swore.
"Pure sin on a fight mat,"
he growled. I grinned down at him. "Is that so?" But my words cut off as Link's hips angled up, hitting me right between the legs. The friction and pressure were almost too much. A whimper slipped free and it was all Link needed. He released my wrists and pulled a wrap off. I wasn't even aware of them hitting the mat until his fingers were tangled in the strap of my tank and bra. His eyes collided with mine.
"You tap out. This all ends."
My free hand slid through his hair, fingers tightening in it, tugging just enough to bring a flicker of pain, heat. "You tap out. This all ends." Link grinned, the kind that knocked me senseless. And this one almost did, literally. He didn't miss his opportunity to get the upper hand, rolling us so I was beneath him again. Only this time he settled between my legs. Had our clothes magically disappeared, this man would be primed to slide inside me. And holy hell, did I want that. Link ground against me, sending flickering sparks dancing through me and forcing a mule from my mouth. He nipped my lip.
Those sounds, like a kitten purring. All pliant and perfect.
I'd never been described as pliant. I bucked against Link, making him hard more than curse, but he did it with a grin.
Okay, maybe she has claws.
My neck strained as I reached up to nip his lip, to give as good as I got. Link's tongue drove in, demanding, dominating. His fingers moved back to my tank and he tore his mouth from mine as he pulled down the straps of my tank and bra.
Don't make me miss this show.
I sucked in a breath as my back arched, not in any sort of fight tactic, but welcoming him, beckoning him closer.
Fucking perfect. Like those nipples were dipped in cherry juice. Wonder if they taste like that too.
Link's head dipped and he pulled the bud into his mouth. My body bowed. I was the puppet and Link was the master, pulling every string in perfect synchronicity. I whimpered, but I didn't give a damn as Link's tongue worked my nipple, tugging so hard I felt it in my clit. My mouth opened in a silent cry as I rocked against him. Link, I whispered, need you inside me. Link's lips released my nipple with a pop, his face coming to hover over mine.
The first time I'm inside you, it's not going to be after a day from hell or in search of something to take the edge off. It will be because you want nothing and no one but me. Your body will weep for me, and you'll beg me to take you. And you can be goddamn sure I'm going to take my time.
My lips parted on a silent inhale as an argument rose. I wasn't above begging right fucking now. Link stilled my words, putting two fingers over my mouth.
That doesn't mean I'm not gonna take care of my girl. Gonna let you spill all that darkness pooling inside you into me. Gonna take it all. Everything you have to give.
Normally, someone shushing me would have guaranteed a knife to the throat. But I was too caught up in Link's words, his promises. Wetness gathered between my thighs as my tongue darted out, wrapping around Link's fingers and pulling them into my mouth. I sucked deeply, taking in the slightly salty taste of sweat combined with Link's natural flavor. I swore he even tasted like bourbon. He groaned and rocked into me. More sparks spread, my core tightening around nothing, crying out to be filled. I arched into him. This time, Link cursed. His hand moved, sliding between our bodies to the hem of my shorts. He stroked me through the thin cotton of my underwear, and I whimpered, shuddering at the tease.
Fucking soaked, but we can do better.
Link growled. His fingers slipped beneath my underwear, gliding over my slit back and forth, as if he were in no hurry. My hips rose to meet the caress as Link's other hand tangled in my hair. I tried to move in search of more or quicker, but Link wouldn't let me play that game. I let out a snarl of frustration. He only grins down at me, those strong fingers tightening in my hair.
My vicious girl, love that fire.
His words had me stilling, fear striking out. But I was already gone, lost to this man and his touch, his understanding. At my stillness, Link slid two fingers inside. His eyes fluttered closed as if he were memorizing the moment.
Fucking perfect.
His eyes opened and his fingers began to move in and out in an alternating pattern I could never quite pin down. Sometimes it was a twist, other times a drag against my walls, occasionally a stretching glide. And through it all, I never lost him, couldn't take my eyes off his.
You're doing such a good job, taking exactly what I give you, feeling it all.
My walls trembled around his fingers, ready to break.
Not yet.
Link's fingers tightened in my hair again, that bite of pain helping me hold back my orgasm.
That's my girl. Breathe. Take it all.
In and out, twist, drag. Sweat dotted my brow, my nipples tightened to the point of pain. It was too much. Link's face hovered over mine, his lips a mere breath away.
When you're ready, let me see. Let me feel it. Let it all into me.
Each thrust cracked a tiny piece of my resolve like a chisel strike to stone, until Link's fingers twisted again, one last strike. I shattered, glass fractured, and everything I'd been holding back flooded out. Waves of pleasure and pain coursed through me as my body bucked against Link. My eyes closed and my body bowed, moving in wild, nonsensical ways as I let it all free. The fear, the anger, the agony. I let Link have it all. And as I slowly came back to myself and blinked against the light, Link was there, still hovering over me. His smile was gentle now, a little lazy.
How do you feel?
My mouth curved. Well, your fingers are still inside me, so pretty damn good. Link barked out a laugh, the vibrations of it coursing through me and setting off aftershocks of all he'd given me in all the ways.
My girl has a point.
Hearing him call me that, my girl, told me I was more than in danger. I was in the red zone, and there wasn't a damn thing I could do about it. 31. Arden. I stood at the threshold to my workshop. The bright yellow crime scene tape felt like a permanent stain in the form of a massive X across the door. Anger swirled, building on itself. Whoever had done this was probably pleased as punch about that. My fingers curled around one piece of the tape. I tugged it free and balled it up before doing the same with the other piece, thinking I'd like to burn it. Steeling myself, I punched in the code to the door. Then I stepped inside. As I turned on the light, my gaze swept the studio space, a place that had felt more like a home than any other place had. It didn't feel that way anymore. I couldn't even let Brutus inside with all the damage and debris littering the floor. That only had my anger burning brighter, which was intensified by my stubbornness. Whoever this asshole was didn't get to win. I stormed back onto the stoop and picked up the stack of cleaning supplies. I'd need to refill them before long, but at least this would get me started. It wasn't that people hadn't offered to help. All my siblings had. So had Nora and Lolly. And of course, Link. Cope had even offered to hire a team to come in. And it wasn't that I didn't appreciate the offers. It was that I needed to do it myself. 3 days. 3 days since someone had infiltrated my safe space and smashed it all to hell. 3 days since someone had tried to scare the hell out of me. My gaze moved to the writing on the wall. You can't hide. I wanted to scream at the person who'd written it. Rage. I wasn't hiding. That part of my life was over. I was living, and I wouldn't let them stop me. I'd erase them from every inch of this place and then go right on with my life. Moving around the room, I opened every window and propped the two doors open as well. It wasn't like I was at risk. A patrol car was parked between my house and the studio. It or another was present since the day I'd discovered it all. I hadn't slept in an empty house since then either. My siblings had offered to slumber party it, right up until Link said he would stay. Lolly had loved that idea. Woohoo! The broody billionaire bites the dust. I can't decide, is he stoic in the sack or wild? Each would have their benefits. A few shouts rose, laughter, and Shep gagging had stopped her from saying more. I'd wanted to crawl under a rock. Link had just grinned at her and winked.
Wouldn't you like to know?
But Link hadn't made a move. I'd waited as he showered, my breath catching when he came out shirtless and in nothing but gray sweats, basically lingerie for men. Only all he'd done was turn out the lights and hold me. Each morning I woke with my face pressed to his throat and more turned on than ever. Link would mutter something about needing a cold shower and then disappear. If this studio destroyer didn't take me out, my blue lady balls would. Pulling out the paint tray, I filled it with baking soda and then poured a little hydrogen peroxide in. I swirled it together to form the paste my research had told me was good for removing blood from surfaces. Research, I was certain, had gotten me on some sort of watch list. I was just glad it hadn't been human blood. Trace had sent a sample off for testing, and it had come back as pig's blood. They were now canvassing butchers in the area to get a list of people who had purchased the stuff. The thought made my stomach churn. They weren't going to win. Flipping on my music to some mind-numbing decibel, I got to work. I lost myself in the rage-filled riffs and angry refrains of song after song. It helped. It bled out all I wanted to but wasn't quite ready for. I started with the walls and worked in a circle, leaving the paste to sit. Then I got out the industrial trash bags Fallon had picked up for me. I threw away ruined tools and paints and countless other supplies. But when I got to the statue in the center of the room, the real heartbreak set in. The woman reaching out wasn't a picture of hope now. She looked as if she'd fought a battle and lost. The metal was covered in blood, pieces of her face were smashed in, and the hand was broken. As I studied her more closely, I saw that it looked like someone had taken a bat or some other solid object to her. Bastard. My music switched off, and I whirled, automatically assuming a defensive stance. Instead of some hired hitman, I found Trace glaring at me with Anson and Link behind him. My brother prowled forward, carefully restrained rage coursing through him.
Someone breaks into your studio, leaves what is very clearly a threat, and you think it's a great time to blast your music with all the doors and windows open? Trace,
Link warned, his jaw going hard.
I know she's been through a lot, but I'm not about to let her be an idiot about her safety.
Trace shot back. Link moved then, getting in Trace's face.
I know you're tweaked and scared as hell something's going to happen to her, but you do not get to speak to her like that. Not ever, but especially not in front of me.
Trace's eyes flared in surprise as he took in Link with new eyes.
This serious? If Vicious wanted to share that information, she would.
My heart stutter-stepped as a wave of fear hit me hard. Serious? We hadn't even slept together. As if that would keep Link out of my goddamned heart. He was like a ninja, sneaking into places without me even noticing he was there. Trace looked from Link to me and back again.
Fuck,
he muttered. His use of the curse word meant he was at the end of his rope. He generally tried to avoid anything that could accidentally get passed on to Keeley. He scrubbed his hand over his face, and I noticed the stubble on his jaw was a little thicker now. That had guilt settling in. Trace had been working around the clock to find something, anything that would point us toward the culprit. Sorry, T-Money. I figured I'd be safe to rage clean with someone out front. I'll be more mindful. Trace blinked at me a few times before speaking.
One. Did you just call me T-Money?
My lips twitched. Maybe.
Am I a rapper now?
I'm fairly certain you are far too much of a rule follower to be a rapper. Anson choked on a laugh, knowing I was right. Trace sent him a scathing look.
Hey, I'll have you know I drove 5 miles over the speed limit on my way here. Shit,
Anson muttered.
Someone call his second in command. He needs to be relieved of duty. I hate you all,
Trace muttered. No, you love us, but we give you gray hair. I ditched my cleaning gloves and moved into his space, swiping at the tiny flecks of silver at his temples.
The insults keep pouring in.
I wrapped my arms around his waist and gave him a tight hug. Sorry, T-Money. He hesitated for a moment and then hugged me back, hard.
I just worry about you.
I know. And I don't handle that well. Trace pulled back and stared down at me.
Who are you? And what did you do with my sister? You're all agreeable.
A laugh bubbled out of me. You know, that's a little insulting. One corner of Trace's mouth kicked up.
Insulting or accurate?
Both, damn it. That only made him grin wider.
No one knows you like your siblings.
Wasn't that the truth? But as I studied him, once more ticking in the presence of all three of them, the smile slipped from my face. You found something. Tracer's expression shifted then, too. He lost some of the amusement, and his usual stoic mask slipped back into place.
Nothing concrete, but I brought Anson on board as a consultant.
Anson scoffed.
What he means is that he paid me $1 and made me sign a contract. You accepted it.
Trace shot back. Thank you, I cut in, meeting Anson's stare. I knew it cost him to put those profiler shoes back on, and he only did it for the people he loved, because he'd fallen so head over heels for Rhodes he'd do it for me.
It's no big thing.
It is a big thing, and I appreciate it, I said, steeling myself for whatever might come. Trace shifted into official mode, his shoulders straightening and his voice slipping into his no-nonsense tone.
We're working this one from multiple angles. I've got the local push, Anson's tackling the profile and connecting with his resources at the Bureau, and Link has provided some private resources.
My gaze cut to Link. Private resources? He met my stare and didn't look away. No part of him was intimidated by my challenge. I should have known as much.
I work with a security company out of Seattle. They have a different sort of resource network, along with a unique perspective on security systems and personal safety.
The one Cope used to upgrade the system here? Holt Hartley's company, Anchor? I asked. Link nodded.
Holt's a silent partner now. He's too busy running a search and rescue team in Washington.
Yeesh, hero complex much, I muttered. Link's lips twitched.
Not anymore, but he did design a new system for your workshop. The equipment already arrived. I got an installer ready to go as soon as we finish cleanup in here.
That twitchy feeling took root again, the one that sparked the not entirely rational fear that held me hostage. I did everything I could to shove it down. Do you really think that will change anything? I asked. There was a system on it when someone broke in.
That wasn't exactly a system,
Trace cut in.
You have cameras and locks, but all it took was them cutting the external power source and the cameras didn't do shit. All we have is that one shot. This system will be hardwired to the power grid and those lines will be buried just like they are at Cope's. We'll do the same for your house.
I battled not to argue. Logically, I knew it was the smart play, knew I needed those precautions in place to keep me safe. But each new thing felt like a metal bar, and once they were all in place, I'd be in prison. Link moved in, reading my thoughts like a note scrawled on a page.
It's not forever, just for a little while. We're going to find this asshole, and you won't have to worry anymore. You can play that noise as loud as you want in the middle of the night with all your doors and windows open. I'm gonna get a noise complaint from miles away,
Trace muttered. It's good to have goals, I shot back. But the humor I searched for in those words didn't come. Link's fingers slid through mine, squeezing.
Just a little while. Cope tried to hire a 3-person bodyguard team, so be thankful I talked him down from that. The new system was our compromise.
I gaped up at him. A 3-person bodyguard team?
Pretty sure he suggested 12 at first,
Trace said. Jesus, I mumbled. I'll take the security system. Link squeezed my hand and then released it.
See? Told you she'd come around.
Anson's gaze followed the hand movement, the reassuring gesture, the release of it. I could imagine his genius brain putting all the pieces together, but I hated thinking about what he might find.
Thank God for small miracles,
Trace said. I stuck out my tongue at him. Hey, I'm agreeable now, remember? He chuckled.
Fair enough. All right, for my corner of things, we've got a deputy here while you are. They will be your tail for the foreseeable future. The county lab is still running trace analysis, but we're guessing the perp wore gloves in here. We haven't found a single print other than yours, not even on the broken items.
Damn. I was hoping whoever it was would be an idiot and leave a path straight to them. But that would be too easy.
Anson?
Trace asked, tossing the baton. I forced myself to look at the broody profiler, but couldn't help but fear that he was about to lay all my secrets bare with his mental sorcery. Anson met my gaze, and I swore he was trying to reassure me somehow.
We're looking at a progression in events, an escalation.
Even though Link was no longer touching me, he was close enough that I felt him stiffen, as if the air around his body vibrated at a higher frequency due to the tension in his muscles.
Meaning this will keep getting worse,
he surmised, his voice taking on a deadly air.
It means that Arden isn't giving whoever this is the reaction they want. That can be a good thing, or a bad thing.
I mulled that over, frowning. That doesn't make sense. If this is linked to my past, it means someone's trying to silence me again. Why not just take me out while I'm crossing the street sniper style or blow up my car? Why are they playing with me? A muscle in Link's jaw fluttered wildly.
Could you please not talk about all the ways you could get dead? Seconded,
Trace mumbled. Sorry, but it's true. Anson nodded.
You have a point, and it sometimes helps to approach it logically, not personally.
He was right, because if I really let it sink in that someone wanted to hurt me, possibly kill me, after everything I'd fought through to get safe, I wasn't sure I could keep going.
A couple of things,
Anson went on.
We don't know for sure this is about your past. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about was if anyone has been paying closer attention to you lately. Anyone new in your life?
The deputies already asked me.
Quentin Arison.
Link spat, cutting me off. Anson pulled out his phone.
Who is he?
A douchebag, but he doesn't exactly strike me as the type to get his hands dirty. I gestured around the space. This took work. Quentin wears 3-piece suits and $1,000 dress shoes. Anson met my gaze as though he needed to know I was hearing him.
This takes rage, Arden. It's personal on some level, but that doesn't mean it will necessarily make logical sense to you or me. Someone whose mind is twisted on them can see something as slight as you not smiling at them as justification for this. She refused to go on a date with him, refused to sell art to him before the auction.
Link cut in.
I had someone on my security team do a little digging. Family wealth, from Europe, used to getting what he wants. His reputation is less than stellar.
I turned slowly to Link. You had a background check done on him because he asked me out? Link shrugged as if it was completely logical.
I didn't like the way he looked at you.
Trace choked on a laugh.
And I bet that had nothing to do with him asking her out.
Ah, Jesus, I would never hear the end of this. Link ignored him and turned back to Anson.
You said you had a couple of things.
Anson nodded.
I talked with my old partner at the behavioral analysis unit and the agent who has the case. They haven't seen any movement.
But? I asked. One corner of Anson's mouth tugged up the barest amount, as if he was trying to smile but couldn't quite get there.
Whoever was pulling the strings back then stayed under the radar. We still have no clue who ordered the hit or who the second person in that hallway was. There are no phone records, no emails. We have no idea how they were communicating.
I knew all that. If there's nothing, and I obviously haven't remembered a damn thing, why would someone risk trying to hurt me now?
Arden, whoever had your parents killed uses people like pawns to get what they want. And they were smart enough to make it so we couldn't trace anything back to them. Even the few cases we know your dad threw don't have a common thread.
The reminder of what my dad had done felt like a stinging slap. He had thrown away his purpose and family for just a little bit more. Anson pressed on.
Someone like that won't want any loose threads. They won't want to take that risk. They'll have been looking for you this whole time, and the kinds of people someone like that would hire for this type of work. Their brains don't process empathy the same way others do. Some simply disassociate from the fact that they're taking a human life. But others? They get joy from it and the hunt. And those people would play with you before they killed you. just because it makes it more fun.
32. Arden. Gray clouds rolled in, right along with a clap of thunder. It was the kind of stormy sky that sometimes meant rain and other times didn't, which meant it was also the type that held the greatest risk of forest fire, as if there weren't enough threats in our midst. Link shoved a broken frame into a trash bag with enough force that it should have gone right through the heavy-duty plastic. He hadn't asked if he could help clean this time. He'd simply started stomping around, muttering to himself as he picked up detritus. "You want to talk about it?" I asked, as I wiped the paste from the walls. It had cleaned a lot of the blood, but I would still need to paint them. Even then, I wondered if they'd ever be blood-free in my mind. Link picked up what looked like pieces of paintbrushes.
"He shouldn't have told you that."
The statement had surprise lighting through me. Who shouldn't have told me what? Link straightened, finally turning his supremely pissed-off face to me.
"Anson. Telling you there could be some psycho killer out there plotting your murder, but deciding he wants to play with you first."
Whether he told me or not wouldn't make the possibility any less true.
"But it would make you less fucking terrified."
He spat. "Link," I said quietly, "do I look like I'm cowering in a corner?" His hazel eyes burned brighter.
"You fight through the fear, you always have."
Damn him, he was right. I shoved the feelings down and soldiered on. But I knew something else, too. When I have all the facts, it helps somehow. If I can name all the possibilities, it takes away some of the power. I held up my gloved hands, ticking off the options on my fingers. 1, unhinged hitman with a thing for the drama. 2, spoiled rich boy with too much time on his hands. 3, some unknown person I cut off in traffic and they decided I was the spawn of Satan.
"It's not funny,"
Link growled. A loud clap of thunder sounded as the sky darkened even more. I pulled off the gloves and laid them over my bucket. "I know it's your instinct to shield the people you care about, but I don't want to be kept from the truth. The last time someone tried to do that, my whole world got ripped apart." For a moment, I thought Link might fight me and hold tight to the urge to shield me from everything, even truths I needed to know. But then he exhaled, his shoulders sagging in a mixture of defeat and understanding. He dropped the bag, not saying anything. He simply wrapped me in his arms and held on. Maybe nothing needed to be said, because Link couldn't fix this, no matter how much he wanted to. He kept those strong arms around me as thunder rolled outside. Then finally, his lips teased my hair as he whispered,
"I'm sorry."
I held him tighter, my hands fisting in his shirt. "There's nothing to be sorry for." Link pulled back, searching my face.
"I don't have a right to try to keep information from you. No one does."
"No, but I understand why you'd want to. I'd probably want the same if I were in your shoes." Link lifted a hand, his calloused thumb skating across my jaw.
"Trace is right. You've become agreeable."
I shoved at his chest, a laugh slipping free. "You all suck." Link grinned as he released me.
"What do you think? More rage cleaning, or are you ready for a break?"
I'd lost some of my mad over the past few hours as the sun sank lower in the late afternoon sky. It was more a numbed sadness now. But as I looked around the room, I knew one thing. "I want every single thing that he touched in here tossed." Link's eyes flashed that brighter green.
"Getting him the hell out of here it is."
He met my gaze.
"But please, don't make my ears bleed."
The puppy dog look did it. I smiled for what felt like the first time in 3 days. "I can settle for some classic rock if you'll help me." Link leaned in, his lips brushing mine.
"Deal."
We set to work as Jimi Hendrix played over the speakers. I worked on the walls while Link tackled the floors. My poor couch would need to go to the dump, but my desk had survived. I didn't realize what we were circling until we slowed in the center of the room. I stared down at the statue, The woman trying to break free was now beaten to hell and covered in blood. I'm not sure she's salvageable.
Why not?
Link asked. I gestured at the mangled piece. Hand broken off, face smashed in places, dented. Link met my gaze.
She's been through hell and survived. Sounds like someone else I know. Bet you could find a way to make what she's been through beautiful.
My heart jerked in my chest, the urge to bolt lighting anew. But on its heels was something stronger, the need to stay. Then let's get her up. A grin spread across Link's face.
Let's get her up.
We lifted her on a count of three. Whoever had toppled her must have been strong or fueled with a hell of a lot of rage, because the two of us could barely get the piece upright. When we did, my brain started to run wild with ideas. I saw something new, something better, something fiercer.
Oh, no.
Link started.
I know that look, but it's after eight and you haven't eaten anything since breakfast. You can conquer Statue Lady tomorrow.
I gave him my best pleading eyes. Just an hour? He huffed out of breath.
After you eat.
Deal, I said quickly. Link stared at me for a moment.
I just got played, didn't I?
Maybe, I sing-songed. He opened his mouth to say something, but his phone rang. He pulled it from his pocket and frowned.
It's Ellie. She doesn't usually call this late.
Take it, I said. I can start dinner.
Are you going to poison us?
I made a face. I'm heating up one of Nora's casseroles. I think even I can do that. Link's lips twitched.
All right. I'll be in a few.
No rush, I said, heading for the door. The outdoor lights flicked on as I stepped outside, eating the darkness like they always did. Gravel crunched beneath my feet until thunder drowned out the sound, but the lightning was still in the distance.
Storm's coming,
Deputy Allen said. I do love a summer storm.
As long as we don't get a fire.
As long as. I paused for a moment. I'm heating up dinner for Link and me. You want some? Allen shook his head.
Already ate, but thank you.
Thanks for looking out, I called as I headed for the house.
Just happy it's been boring as hell,
he shouted back. I laughed as I punched in my front door code and opened it to a waiting Brutus. His tail wagged and he pressed into me. I gave him more scratches, bending down to press a kiss to his head. Brutus moved in and licked my cheek. I love you too. The simple admission made my eyes sting. Why did it come so easily with him but was like pulling teeth with humans? Link's face swirled in my mind and the burning sensation in my eyes intensified. That battle of wanting something so badly, yet being terrified to reach for it, raged. Link thought hearing someone might be playing a sick and twisted game with my life would scare me, hurt me. Nothing scared and hurt more than knowing the beauty of him and losing it. A clap of thunder swept through the house, making the walls tremble. And as it rolled through, the lights went out. The panic didn't come at first because I expected the electricity to flick right back on. It wasn't like there were high winds and torrential downpours. But the lights didn't return. My heart rate picked up, the beats tangling with one another in an attempt to keep going. My hand fumbled, searching the pocket of my cargo pants as Brutus let out a low growl. It's okay, I wheezed. I felt for my phone and cursed when I realized I'd left it in the studio. The panic dug in. My finger hooked around my keys and a frisson of relief found me. But it vanished as I pressed the flashlight and nothing happened. I tried again, my fingers shaking. Nothing. The kitchen. There were flashlights in the kitchen. I just needed to get there. Only the hallway looked football fields long right now. I stumbled down it, struggling to stay upright. My mom's voice flashed in my head. Stay here. No matter what you hear, do not come out. Do you understand me? And then the image of her shoving me into the hidden closet rose. Love you to the ends of the earth. The sound of a gunshot in my memory, and then the darkness closed in on me even further.
33. Lincoln. My fingers swept across the screen to accept the call. Hey, Elbel.
Hey, Con-Con,
she greeted, her voice soft. I moved through the studio, clicking off the stereo and shutting doors and windows as I watched Arden make her way to the house. Pretty late for you. A fact that had my muscles winding a little tighter than normal, even as I tried to shove the worry down. Ellie let out a small huff of air across the line.
You think I'm not going to check up on my big brother and his girlfriend after he tells me some creep smashed up her art studio?
I shouldn't have told her, but she'd called just as I was finishing up with Trace. And Ellie had read me the way only little sisters could. She'd pushed, and I'd caved. We're both good, just spent all afternoon getting things back in working order. Shutting off the lights, I stepped onto the back patio that overlooked the now empty paddock and barn. With the storm clouds rolling in, you couldn't make out much of the moon, but it somehow still managed to be a beautiful night.
Good, Ellie said, a little of the tension bleeding out of her voice. That's good.
What about you? How are things in New York? I asked, just as a bolt of lightning streaked across the sky, illuminating the mountains for a split second before plunging the world into darkness again.
It's New York. Same old, same old.
Thunder rolled quicker this time. The storm was moving closer. I don't actually give a damn about New York. What about you? I pressed. She was holding something back. Ellie was quiet for a moment.
I don't know if I want to do it.
Everything in me froze. Mary Bradley? More silence.
Elle, I feel like I'm scared to move,
she croaked. Fuck. Do you want me to come to New York? I asked. I fucking hated that city, but I'd do it for Ellie. I'd have to convince Arden to come with me because I sure as hell wasn't leaving her here.
No,
Ellie answered quickly. In my mind, I could see her shaking her head, that mix of blonde and brown swirling around her face.
I need to figure this out on my own. I just needed to hear your voice for a second.
I'm right here, always. You should come stay for a while. Cope wouldn't mind. Another pause.
Maybe. I need to sort out my head first.
Elle?
Yeah?
She whispered. Fuck everyone, even me. Don't think about what anyone else wants but you. This is your life. Don't wake up 20 years from now and realize you wasted it living for other people. Find out what you want. I heard short, harsh pants of breath, and I knew she was crying. My hand tightened around the phone. I wished I had a wall to put my fist through. Another bolt of lightning streaked across the sky. Way closer this time. The thunder that followed felt like it was practically on top of me.
You need to go,
Ellie rasped.
Sounds like you're in a storm.
Elle,
I'll check in soon. Love you, Con-Con.
She hung up before I could say another word. I pulled the phone away from my face and stared at the screen. An ache took root in my chest. I couldn't make the next choices for my sister. I just hoped she was strong enough to do what made her happy. My gaze lifted, pulled toward the house, toward Arden. Sometimes it felt like my entire body was attuned to her, subtly shifting in her direction at all times. A magnetic pull because of all she was. But as I stared at the house, I realized something was off. The light by the door that was perpetually on wasn't now, and no lights glowed from inside. I turned quickly, taking in the studio. While I'd turned off the overhead lights, I hadn't missed the two nightlights plugged into outlets on either side of the room. They weren't on now. My mind raced, first fearing the worst and then realizing the storm must have knocked out the power. I was moving before I could stop myself, running toward Arden's house. The deputy must have seen me because he climbed out of his vehicle, his hand going to his gun. Everything okay? I waved him off. Power's out. Just want to make sure everything is okay in the house. I wasn't about to betray Arden's secret that the dark held all her monsters. He seemed a little wary, but nodded, climbing back into his car just as the rain started. It pelted against me in angry bursts until I reached the front door. Punching in the code, I hauled it open. Arden? I called into the dark. There was nothing. No answer. No light. Not a single sign of life. Fear kicked up, clawing in ragged sweeps across my flesh. "Arden, it's Link." I flicked on the flashlight on my phone, and that's when I heard it. A sound. I froze. "Arden?" It was so faint my ears could barely make it out. A whimper. I moved toward that faint sound, heading down the hall toward the kitchen and living room. I heard it again. Stilling, my gaze swept the room, and that's when I saw her. Arden had shoved herself between a tall hutch and the wall in the far corner of the room, Brutus standing guard, his hair bristling at his owner's state. As I strode across the room, Brutus growled. I muttered a curse, racking my brain for the terms Arden had used. "Freund, Brutus, Freund." I'd probably butchered the pronunciation. I'd taken one term of German in college, and that was it. But Brutus eased a fraction. My hand dropped to his head, giving him a pat. "You did so good. But you gotta let me in there now, okay?" Brutus stared up at me as if considering my words and then subtly shifted back. I sank to the floor, moving in as close as I could to Arden. Her face had turned a stark shade of white, and her beautiful gray-violet eyes were too wide. Her whole body trembled. I wanted to kill whoever had put this sort of fear into her, and I wanted to do it slowly. I didn't touch her, not yet. I didn't know if she truly knew it was me. "Arden, can you hear me?" She kept staring straight ahead, unblinking, as if seeing something other than what was right in front of her.
"They're coming."
Agony twisted in my gut. "You're safe. I promise they're not getting anywhere near you. Deputy Allen is out there. I'm right here. You've got Brutus."
"They killed her," Arden croaked. "So much blood. It's everywhere. It's seeping into the carpet. She's not breathing."
I scooted closer, my hands running up her calves and squeezing. "Arden, look at me. See me." She blinked a couple of times, as if trying to pull herself out of it, but she couldn't quite get there. I squeezed her calves again, trying to give her something to anchor herself. "You hear my voice? You feel me? Come back. Come back to me." She blinked again, faster now. Then her head moved, trying to find me. Finally, those beautiful, tortured eyes met mine.
"Link?"
"That's my girl. I'm right here."
"It's dark,"
she whispered. "I know, but you're not alone in it. Not anymore." I swept the beam across the room to demonstrate that there was light, even in the dark. Those beautiful eyes filled, and then she threw herself at me. I caught her, cradling her in my arms as huge, racking sobs took over. I held her to me, giving her the time to let it all out, everything she kept bottled up all the time.
"It was so real," she choked out. "Like I was back there, in that closet, watching it all happen."
"I'm so sorry, baby. You're safe." She shuddered against me and burrowed deeper.
"So cold."
I moved then, grabbing my phone and shoving to my feet with Arden still in my arms. I might not be able to erase the memories that haunted her, but I could fix this. Keeping Arden cradled against me, I headed in the direction of the bathroom, hoping the water heater was gas and not electric. I was just glad that I remembered Cope telling me the well water system had a small generator to keep things running during power outages. Brutus started to follow, but I held out a hand. "Stay, I've got her." Brutus stared at me for a moment and then plunked his butt down. At least I wouldn't be battling a dog, too. I navigated the furniture the best I could with only the light on my phone as Arden trembled against me more. Each vibration stoked my rage, building it into a fiery inferno. She'd been through too much, had been traumatized, threatened, was living in fear. I would have paid any price to take it all away, to end this for her. Moving into the bathroom, I set the phone and Arden on the counter and started to release her, but her hands fisted in my tee and held tight.
"Don't leave me."
"Fuck." My back teeth ground together, the rage nearly swallowing me whole. I dropped my forehead to hers, trying to shove the anger down. "I'm right here. Not going anywhere. Just going to turn the water on. Think I can do that?" Arden was quiet for a moment. She didn't move. Barely breathed.
"Okay."
I moved as quickly as possible, turning the water on to warm and returning to her, the light from my phone casting us in a faint glow. I brushed my lips across her temple. I'm right here. See? Arden's hand rose to rest on my chest, over my heart.
Right here.
She was killing me. Everything about this was slicing me open. All I wanted to do was erase every ounce of her pain, but I couldn't. Instead, I kicked off my boots, then shucked my jeans, socks, and tee, leaving only my boxer briefs on. If anyone was going to be cold in this bathroom, it would be me. I ghosted a hand over Arden's face. Would it be okay if I undressed you? Get you into that nice, warm shower? Steam was already beginning to fill the bathroom in a way that promised endless warmth. She nodded slowly, her throat working as she swallowed. Arms up, I said gently. Arden raised them, and I moved closer to pull up her t-shirt. As I let it flutter to the floor, I took in her form in the sliver of light. She wore some sort of black lace bra I didn't want to look too closely at. My arms encircled her, fingers unfastening the hooks and letting that fall to the floor too. Gonna lift you down now. Think you can stand? Arden nodded robotically. There was no life in the movement, no signs of the vitality that usually filled her. I sank to my knees, my hands going to her left foot. I quickly untied the sneaker's laces. Lift? She did, and I pulled the shoe and sock off, then repeated it with the other foot. I looked up to find Arden watching me. But it was as if she were peering through a looking glass or seeing something through some sort of distortion. My fingers lifted to the button at her waist. Almost there. Arden's eyes went glassy.
Almost there.
I unfastened her pants and pulled them and her underwear down. She shivered and I cursed, pushing to my feet. Let's get you warm. I held out a hand to test the water, adjusting it slightly before ushering Arden into the glass-enclosed space. I positioned her under the spray, but facing away toward me.
Warm,
she whispered. That's right. Gonna take care of you, all right? Those gray-violet eyes locked on mine.
You always take care of me.
The words were a beautiful knife to the heart, and I willingly took every ounce of the pain. That's right. My hands lifted to Arden's hair, searching for the rubber band that held those mountains of dark brown locks in a tangled mess atop her head. Latching on, I maneuvered it as gently as possible, letting all that beautiful hair free to fall into the spray. I surveyed the shelf in the stall, trying to make out words in the near dark. I found the shampoo and squirted a healthy dose into my palm. Can you turn for me? Arden did, moving back a fraction. I rubbed my hands together to create suds and realized where Arden's cherry scent came from. This shampoo. Maybe this would give her back a little of herself. My fingers dug into her hair, depositing shampoo across the strands. I massaged Arden's head, making sure every inch of her hair was cleaned. She hummed softly. The small sound of pleasure erased a little of the memories of her whimpering. I wanted to give her only the good. So much of it that she wouldn't even remember the bad. Turn, I whispered hoarsely. She did. My fingers worked through her hair, rinsing the shampoo as I stared down at her. Arden didn't close her eyes, so trusting that I wouldn't get any soap in them. That trust was a gift, and I moved as if I were restoring the Mona Lisa. When all the strands were fully rinsed, I repeated the steps with conditioner. Then, as Arden watched me, I reached for the body wash. I squeezed soap into my palms and rubbed them together. My hands skated over her arms and torso, then moved up to cup her breasts, the perfect weight filling my hands. Arden let out a soft moan, her nipples pebbling. My dick hardened in response, not giving a damn that this wasn't the time, and I still had soaked boxer briefs on. My thumbs circled the tight buds as Arden's head tipped back. I released her breasts, even though it was the last thing I wanted to do. Sinking to my knees, I lathered body wash over one leg, then the other. Arden's breaths came in quick pants as her fingers dug into my shoulders. Water coursed over her, rinsing the soap free, but I still didn't move. She was so beautiful, a work of art in her own right. so strong, withstanding some of the worst this world had to offer. Those gray violet eyes found mine, brighter now. Link. My whole body tightened in response to just my name on her lips. What do you need? The violet flashed.
You.
A stream of curses flew through my mind. I don't know if that's a good... Arden cut me off, bending to take my mouth, her tongue stroking in. The second her taste hit me, I was gone. Cherries and mint and something that was only her. She pulled back, tugging me to my feet.
Trust me to know what I need, and right now I need to feel you everywhere.
My dick pulsed with that image and promise. I stepped back and saw a hint of pain in Arden's eyes at the perceived rejection. I quickly sat on the tiled bench in the shower and took her hand. Take what you need, Vicious.
34. Arden. My whole body tingled with that pins and needles feeling you get after coming in from hours in the cold. Muscle and sinew waking up. All because of Link. And it wasn't him just pulling me out of my haze, it was more. He woke things inside me that felt as if they'd been frozen for years. It scared the hell out of me. But I wasn't walking away. I was stepping into the fear without armor. No bleeding it into my art, no fighting it out on the mat, no riding for hours to drown it. I was diving in. Link's hand curved around mine.
Whatever you need, take it, Vicious.
My nipples pebbled and my core clenched as the water fell on my back, just enough to keep me warm. My hold on Link's hand tightened and I moved it between my legs. My hand beneath his. I used his fingers to part me. My mouth fell open in a silent gasp. There was power in this, in us being together, moving as one. I dragged his fingers over my slit, rocking into him. Goosebumps rose on my flesh as I guided him where I needed him the most. Together, our fingers circled my clit. My breaths came in short pants now, and when my head tipped back down, I found Link watching me with reverence.
So beautiful. Taking what you need. Owning your pleasure.
I shivered, but there was no fear here. Only heat. Just promise. I dropped Link's hand, pulling down the only thing between us, those soaking wet boxer briefs plastered to his skin. My knuckles grazed his powerful thighs, making mine clench in response. Then I climbed onto the bench to straddle him. The hard, cool tile dug into my knees, but I didn't give a damn. Not when I was about to get what I wanted most. My hand encircled Link's dick, gliding up and down. He let out a moan and his eyes fluttered closed for a moment before flying open again as I squeezed gently on an upward glide. There was fire in those green depths as Link looked up at me, still not touching. Then he cursed.
I don't have a condom.
The reminder of what we were about to do had everything in me tightening in the perfect way. I'm on the pill, and I've been checked.
I have too, and I'd never take risks with you.
Invisible claws dug into my heart. Link.
Tell me, what's my girl going to take now?
Everything.
My Vicious girl.
He breathed. I guided him to my entrance, sinking down slowly. My head tipped back as I took in the beautiful stretch, the one that flickered on the border of pain, but reminded me that I was alive, that I could still feel. Link's hand found me then, gliding up my belly and between my breasts. He slid it higher, coming to rest where my neck met my jaw, his fingers tangling in my hair.
So fucking perfect.
His words echoed in the space, ricocheting off the tile like beautiful bullets. I let each one hit without protest, welcoming them. I sank lower, taking all of him, feeling the power and pleasure surging. Link rocked against me but didn't power up. His muscles trembled with the force it took to hold himself back. The gift he was giving me, total and complete control. I rose again and sank down once more, a little faster this time, more force behind my movements. That sense of power swept through me as Link's other hand cupped my breast, his thumb circling my nipple. I arched into him as I rose and sank down again. Giving myself over to it, I moved on instinct in some nonsensical pattern all my own, and Link let me find it, my way, my path. When my eyes met his fingers tightened in my hair.
There she is, came back to me.
My walls fluttered around him. Link, those eyes burned, leaving brands. Let go, I whispered.
Vicious.
Let go. Link gave me exactly what I asked for, what I needed, just like always. He let go, his big body thrust upward, driving so deeply into me my eyes watered. The flicker of pleasure and pain mixed in the best way, reminding me this was just like life. You couldn't have one without the other. But I didn't let Link have his way alone. I countered each move, sinking down to meet him, my nails raking across his shoulders with a force I knew might have drawn blood. Link's fingers tightened in my hair, pulling my head back as he powered into me again. My walls fluttered around him as I teetered on the tipping point.
Break with me,
he growled. I rocked, arching perfectly to bring him exactly where I needed him. Everything broke apart. Light and shadow mixed before my eyes as Link moved through my orgasm, riding every wave, drawing each one out as far as they would go. With one last thrust, he emptied into me, and a feeling of fullness I'd never experienced before surged. Because this was Link, and he took me in every way, never settling for just the physical. He wanted it all. As we came back to ourselves, Link stroked my face, staring into my eyes as if trying to decipher my secrets.
Falling in love with you.
I stiffened, my muscles going rock solid. Link's fingers stilled.
You run? It's really gonna piss me off.
Straight to the point, like always. Not running, I whispered, fear wrapping around my vocal cords like a boa constrictor.
But?
I can't say it back. It would be tempting fate, and I wasn't about to put Link in the crosshairs. His expression softened, and that thumb started stroking again.
Just because you don't say it doesn't make it any less true.
My mouth fell open. Cocky much? Link grinned, but it was almost childlike.
Not cocky. Sure. Sure of you. Sure of us. I'll believe for you. For now. Until you can say the words.
My eyes burned, filled. I'm not crying.
Okay.
Tears slipped down my cheeks and Link wiped them away. That's water from the shower.
All right.
Why do you have to be so perfect? I asked, a mixture of warmth and annoyance filling my tone.
Because I live to piss you off.
I laughed, the sound sending vibrations through us both. Link cursed.
Are you trying to kill me?
Sorry. I pulled off him, wincing slightly. Link was on me in a second, hands gently cupping my face.
Are you okay? Was it too much?
It was perfect. You gave me exactly what I needed. He bent and brushed his lips across mine.
Always will.
Link shut off the water, but he wasn't done caretaking. He wrapped me in a towel and dried every inch of me. His hand ghosted over my face again.
Are you okay?
I knew he meant